Hi, this is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, and you're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Happy listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. A number of U.S. intelligence agencies have concluded that high-ranking Russian officials did attempt to influence the 2016 presidential election. Senator Patrick Leahy says it's critical for Congress to fully investigate this issue to help determine the full extent of Russian involvement and to see if there was any collusion between the Russians and the Trump presidential campaign.
I have never felt so strongly about something in all the years I've been in the Senate. I've never seen something that has worried me as much in all those years in the Senate. And if they think they can get away with it this time, they're going to be back at everything from congressional and gubernatorial races to the next presidential race. We have to stop it today, now, once and for all, for the sake of our own safety in our country and the sake of our allies.
Will the appointment of a special prosecutor help uncover facts in this case? That's one of the questions we have today for our guest, Senator Patrick Leahy. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Bob, it's good to be with you.
Senator Leahy joins us from the Senate Recording Studio in Washington, D.C. Senator, you've seen many files on this subject, some of them classified, some of them are unclassified. Based on the information that you've seen, is there any doubt in your mind that the Russian government actively and intentionally tried to influence the outcome of the 2016 presidential election?
There's no question in my mind that the Russians wanted to influence the 2016 election. There's also no question in my mind they want to do this in other parts of the world. Certainly they'd like to influence the elections in Germany, in the Baltic states and elsewhere, places where they want to have more influence. Now, when anybody says, well, it's just a myth in the U.S., you had 17 different intelligence agencies said it happened. I know a lot of the people that brought the conclusions. Many of them had been appointees of Republican administrations, the people that worked on it. You have people who I have no idea what their politics are. They never let it get involved. But when you have some of these people who handle the most classified information in the world come together and say, yep, the Russians tried to, and then we find that most of our allies agree with that. It's not fiction. It's a very scary reality.
So can you explain to us some of the steps that the Russians took? How did they try to influence the presidential election?
Well, this is one of the reasons why you want to have the investigations underway. I think that Senator Burr and Senator Warren, the Senate Intelligence Committee are going to do an excellent job on this. I am disappointed that Attorney General Sessions, having agreed to come before two of the committees in the Congress, broke that agreement. I'm hoping we can get him back because we have to ask what his involvement was. It is a matrix of things. Everything from false news to using the internet to trying to change people's views. For example, you had some of these stories were picked up as true during the campaign. They're obviously aimed at undermining Secretary Clinton. And we find now that they began in Russia. And Putin says, well, it wasn't us. Maybe it's some internet people in Russia. That doesn't even pass the laugh test. And nobody's going to be running internet operations like that in Russia without the supervision and the allowance of the Russian government. I don't know. I was surprised when I saw the interview with Putin that he was able to keep a straight face. Even the information they hacked from the Democratic National Committee files, they in effect weaponized it.
Senator, we got this email from Peggy who wants to know, should the FBI investigation confirm collusion with the Russians on the part of the Trump campaign and the president himself? Would you declare the presidential election invalid? Collusion is treason according to the U.S. Constitution. What's the consequence of where this might lead?
Well, this is why we want all the facts. It is hard to speculate just how far it might go. I spent years, as you know, as a prosecutor. I made sure I got all the facts before I brought charges. This is what we have to do now. At first, I think the Trump organization thought that we would not be able to get the facts. They had actually the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee went down and was telling the Trump and the people around him what they're investigating. To their credit, the Republican leadership kicked him off the chairmanship of that, put somebody else in. I think that we, the Congress, House and Senate, have a responsibility to get all the facts. And finally, these are beginning to move ahead. We've seen the appointment of Robert Mueller as a special investigator. We see Mr. Comey, whether you agree or disagree with the pronouncements he made during the election, you see him coming to the Hill. He will testify under oath. And you have many others who are coming here. General Flynn is trying to get immunity to testify. I hope he does not. The people around him are taking the Fifth, saying they won't testify. They don't want to violate the Fifth Amendment rights. Actually, I'm one of the people that agree you should have a Fifth Amendment right. I prosecuted a whole lot of criminals when I was a state's attorney. Every one of those criminals took the Fifth Amendment. And I said no matter what crime they had committed, they had the right to it. But there is no reason why we cannot get to the bottom of what's happened.
Senator, you mentioned former FBI Director James Comey. He's scheduled to testify next week in front of a congressional committee, including conversations that he had with President Trump and one where the president allegedly told Mr. Comey to drop the FBI investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. What are the consequences for the president if Comey testifies that this conversation actually did take place?
If he testifies that and does it under oath, that Comey had loyalty to him being Donald Trump, not loyalty to the rule of law, that raises a very, very significant question. It certainly sounds like obstruction of justice. I want to hear what Mr. Comey says under oath. And it is something that's one of the reasons why you're seeing more Republicans as well as Democrats are raising questions. You know, you can't just assume the law applies only to you and you can do everything you want. The law applies to everybody, applies to you, applies to me, applies to the president. I know when I come home to Vermont, I have people stop me on the street, in the grocery store, everywhere, and they say, what's happening? They're very, very concerned. People are concerned. They have a right to be concerned. We've never seen this with either Republican or Democratic presidents. And I think that we in the Congress have a responsibility, Republicans and Democrats alike, to find out exactly what happened. If we don't, we're not doing our job.
Senator, some people are questioning if Mr. Comey will actually be allowed to testify. The president could invoke executive privilege in this case. Courts have recognized a president's constitutional right to keep their discussions private in many cases. What happens? What would be your reaction if the president does invoke executive privilege in this case?
I think I'd go back and look at what happened when Richard Nixon tried similar things.
And do you think that Special Prosecutor Mueller might have more success if executive privilege is claimed by the president in this case?
Well, I don't want to speculate what might happen, but I think that I know Bob Mueller well. I think he's going to be like a bulldog. He's going to go after every single fact here. He's going to want to get it out. He knows his reputation is at stake. I think concerning the fact that the The president seems willing to hurt everybody else's reputation. I don't think you're going to find many of the investigators who are going to be first and foremost concerned with President Trump's reputation. They're going to be first and foremost concerned with the reputation of the United States of America.
Let's go to our callers and start with Nancy in East Montpelier. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for taking my call, Senator Leahy. First, I just want to thank you for everything you do to make us proud and look out for all Americans. We think of you as St. Patrick in my house, and I do want to thank you. And I have two questions for you. One is the distinction between the areas that the special prosecutor's investigation will go into, which I gather are only limited to possible crimes, versus what a special commission appointed by Congress along the lines of the 9/11 commission could look into. And then my second question is thinking about impeachment as essentially a political process, and about how, from my perspective, there's a base of Trump supporters who really don't understand that our democratic constitutional system is in peril and has been attacked. What thoughts do you have about how that group of people can be made to understand the dire seriousness of what's going on?
Nancy, you know, listening to your question, you'd almost think that you've traveled around the state with Marcel and myself, because you're sharing a concern that a lot of us as Vermonters have. The appointment of Bob Mueller as special counsel has to be considered just a first step. He will focus on the criminal issues. But I think that either a special congressional committee, like we had Watergate and after 9/11, things of that nature, would be a lot better. It'd be when the American people could see exactly what's going, and they'd be able to ask questions of anything they want. Eventually, it may come to that. I am pleased that we've been able to get as many investigations going as we have. At first, there was an effort, because the Republicans control the House and the Senate, just to stonewall this. And then, fortunately, many of the grown-ups in both parties came forward and said, look, this isn't about a political party. This is about America, and we have to find out what happened. I have fears of where it's going to lead to. I want to see where it leads to, and then we'll act on it. In the meantime, though, we should look at some of the things the president's doing. He is withdrawn from the Paris Climate Accord, and here all these countries have come together, and they look at the United States. I mean, the reaction we're getting around the world. Are you saying, in other words, that the United States gives their word on something, we can't take their word? This followed the NATO meetings where the president acted as though maybe we'll stick with NATO, something that we put together, we the United States put together, maybe we won't. You know, one of the things that's made America great is that countries could expect us to keep our word. These are two major things where we're not. And I'll tell you one country that is excited that we're pulling out, and that's China. They will move immediately into Europe and elsewhere and say, hey, we're developing alternative forms of energy. We've been a big polluter, but now we're finding ways to stop pollution. And you can buy these from us. Don't rely on buying anything from the United States. They may change their mind. Stick with us. I suspect they're rubbing their hands in glee.
Senator, you said you had some fears about how this all could turn out. What are your fears?
Well, if it finds that there was active collusion between Russia, a country that does not have the United States interests at heart, and either a candidate or a candidate's organization, then we've all got to take a step back and say, what do we do to make sure that never happens again? We should not have any country, even a friendly country, but certainly not a country that does not want the United States to succeed, like Russia. We should not allow them to be able to influence the greatest democracy on earth. We have actually got to start looking at a whole lot of things, from campaign finance. The Supreme Court made a terrible decision in saying that corporations are people, as though you could elect General Electric as president, because we once elected General Eisenhower as president. The dark money that's come into it, I worry very much for our democracy. You know, we Vermonters can be very secure. We vote for Republicans. We vote for Democrats. We work together. We know what is going on. But here we've seen the dark money go into redistricting. Again, it doesn't affect Vermont because we have one House member. But they're doing it in such a way they can control every single state. They can control as much of the Congress as they want. We better wake up to this, because if we don't, the next generation is going to find that unless they are in the pocket of these companies, the dark money, or unless they're willing really to pledge allegiance to another country, they're not going to be able to do anything.
Let's turn to Tim in Hyde Park. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Boy, what a topic today. Senator, I echo the congratulations and appreciation of others for the job you're doing for us down in Washington. So I want to pick up on your thought about the possibility of an actual collusion between the Trump administration or Trump himself and the Russians in the meddling of our election. Two questions arise from that. The first is, given this enormous possibility, can the business of the United States actually continue to be conducted? Can you legislate new sweeping legislation with a potentially illegitimate president in office? And then secondly, what are the tactics for actually removal, if it should happen? In other words, what's the political calculation here? Do the Democrats carry the weight? Or when Ryan offers an impeachment or a removal process, do we say, go pound sand, and you guys, it's your problem, you fix it? What's your thoughts on that?
No, you ask a question that keeps me awake at night, and I wish I could give you here's the answer. I tell you some of the things I'm thinking of. Of course, if Speaker Ryan were to offer articles of impeachment, the responsibility would be for all members of the House, Republican, Democrat, set aside politics, treat these seriously and vote on them. If they were to vote on impeachment, then the Senate should set aside everything else for the trial of that. I'd be a key member in that trial, and I would want to see it. But in the meantime, we ought to be looking at the proposals that are coming up from the White House and look into it. For example, the last budget, they were going to cut about a third on all the programs that we rely on, from environmental programs to Pell Grants and so on. Put $40 billion in for the wall, cut out LIHEAP, which gives heating assistance, especially in rural areas, certainly devastate any efforts to clean up Lake Champlain. Now, this sounds like you're going into the weeds, but for 2.5 weeks, we negotiated that budget in what they call the Big Four. That's the chairman and the ranking member of the Appropriations Committee in the House, the chairman and vice chairman in the Senate. I'm the vice chairman. My staff, especially, and I would work until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. We restored the money that they had taken out. I told them, you want to have a vote on a wall? Let's have a vote up or down. Well, nobody wanted to vote for this dumb wall. They weren't going to vote for it. Now, one of the things that helped, and here's what we have to realize: voices can be heard. I remember the Women's March here in Washington the day after the inaugural. Well, President Trump was talking about the large crowds that he claimed he had at his inauguration. Of course, we know he did not. The next day, we had a lot more people in the Women's March. Marcel and I hosted over 600 Vermonters who had driven all night long to be there for that march. We hosted them at breakfast that morning. We marched with our daughter and our granddaughter in there. And we saw the power of that movement. That made a big difference. I was able to rely on that when we were debating the budget. Then we had the environmental march. Again, we hosted all the Vermonters who came down, coming all night long on buses to be there. That had a huge impact. People should not forget their letters to the editor, their social media. I'll sometimes get 10, 20, 30,000 emails on an issue. It's even larger in the bigger states. We've got to keep doing this. We've got to have our voice heard. It shouldn't be just hearing Donald Trump's midnight tweets, whether he spells the words right or not.
Let's get a call in from Robert in Bethel. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, thank you. Good afternoon, Senator. I just wanted to comment. This is what keeps you up late at night with this meddling of the Russians. What keeps me up at night is Hillary Clinton's illegal server in her bathroom, and we gave her 2 years to delete anything she wanted. And I need to ask you a question. With this investigation, there's a good chance that it could lead back to Hillary's insecure server where the Russians were able to meddle in the election. So it could be a service, a poetic justice service, where Hillary Clinton, they're talking about impeaching Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton should have gone to jail as Secretary of State. She should have been fired and gone to jail with that type of responsibility as Secretary of State to go out and buy a server and have it in her bathroom. That's the Secretary of State, and you're talking about the Russians meddling? Come on. I think, you know, maybe
that's... No, you ask a question. I have heard parts from one. My response is this. The Republican House especially spent tens of millions of dollars of tax dollars investigating over and over and over again. First, they did Benghazi twice and found nothing. They did this and found nothing. Would I have had such a server in my home? I would not. We have special procedures we follow in my office handling classified matters within a special part of the Capitol where nothing leaves that room. But this has been investigated over and over and over. Your tax dollars have been spent over and over and over again on it. If this new investigation finds that she was working with the Russians to defeat herself, well, then that should be made public. But I don't think that's what the investigation is going to find.
Senator, you've talked about your disappointment that President Trump has withdrawn this country's participation from the Paris Climate Accord. It seems like many Republicans in Congress are supporting the president's actions. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said yesterday, quote, "I applaud President Trump and his administration for dealing yet another significant blow to the Obama administration's assault on domestic energy production and jobs." What about the president's claim that the Paris Accord would destroy American jobs? Many jobs in this country's energy sector would be lost. Is he wrong?
Of course he's wrong, and I am sorry that Mitch McConnell would make such a partisan defense of the president breaking America's word and saying that don't rely on America when it gives its word. That I found extraordinarily troubling. But as far as jobs, look at yesterday in the New York Times, a full-page ad. Some of the biggest employers in this country said, don't pull out of this accord. And basically what they said, the accord will create jobs. It doesn't lose jobs. And again, we have the fact what's happening with China. China is happier in heck that we pulled out, because they've realized that they can't maintain a coal-fired industry in their country. They're closing down the coal manufacturing, and they're putting billions and billions of dollars into alternative forms of energy, solar, wind, and everything else. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to go to Europe, and they're going to go to the emerging nations and say, look, you guys are going to find some new sources of energy. Buy it from us. You can rely on our word. Don't buy it from the United States, even though they've developed this. Buy it from us. We're looking at Vermont, for example. A study came out that Vermont has the highest per capita use of renewable energy in the country. We have, on a per capita basis, we certainly hire a lot more people in the renewable energy field than, for example, West Virginia does in coal mines. And don't take a step which is going to make it hard for American jobs to be created. We should be exporting all of this. We should be the ones developing the alternative forms of energy. We had a couple of the people on the President's Economic Council resign today. Elon Musk, who's developed the electric cars, and Bob Iger of Walt Disney. But a number of companies where their CEOs had supported Trump were in that full-page ad saying, this is a mistake. It is a black eye to the United States. It is going to cut everything from medical research to EPA. We're going to find an effect right in Vermont in some of the research we do.
Let's turn to Tom, who's calling from Bolton. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Bob. Hello, Senator Leahy. This is Tom Longstreth. We met several times, including in 2014 when you came to help us celebrate the rehab of a granite jet in Barrie that we resource converted to a reuse and training facility. So thank you for that, and thank you for all the work you do. I've been executive director of resource for 22 years, and I have two questions for you. One, like you, I'm concerned by Trump's announcement yesterday that he's pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. And beyond the dangers to the environment, this perpetuates this myth that the environmental protection costs jobs. And you were just discussing this. But you know, reuse and recycling is one example where more jobs are created through responsible diversion of materials and reuse of materials than through landfill disposal. So we actually are really doing better if we can divert more, increase our recycling reuse rates. Another example is what you were just talking about, solar and wind. That's where the job growth is. So my one first question is, what can Vermont and the Congress do to minimize the damage done by this move? The second question is, as you know, resource provides job training to disadvantaged and unemployed individuals, and this leads to employment. We fund this work with a variety of sources, including our environmental enterprises, also individual donations, corporate support, foundation support. But we also get about 20% of our budget from government support. And Trump's budget would eliminate AmeriCorps and CDBG and another of other programs that support things like our Youth Build program that allow high school dropouts to get skills, complete their education, build affordable housing.
Okay. So, Tom, yeah, we appreciate your question. We've gotten a couple of emails about the idea of, you know, as Tom brought up, you know, what can Congress do about this issue? But if you look at the quote that I just read from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and you have a Republican Senate and you have a Republican House, isn't it pretty unlikely that Congress is going to do anything?
Well, I'm hoping that we can have votes on some of these things. I think you're going to find senators and House members who are up for re-election next year are starting to hear back home they don't want to do this. Incidentally, Tom, I remember that trip to the stone shed. You may recall in Barrie, I said that both my maternal grandfather and my paternal grandfather both used that stone shed. And my father was born in Barrie. That's why I tended to go through there. I remember going in there as a child with my grandfather. But I also know the jobs have changed a lot in Vermont from the time when I was a child going through those stone sheds. And that's why we have to have scientific research. The president's budget would cut out a lot of these scientific research. It certainly would cut out a lot that we do at the University of Vermont and elsewhere. It would cut out a lot of the programs that employ people. He says he's all in favor of jobs. This is not in favor of jobs. These are job-killing budgets that he's come up with. Todd Stern, who spoke at the Leahy Environmental Summit at the Leahy Center this year, has an excellent op-ed piece in today's Washington Post, talking about the enormous damage caused by pulling out of this. But what Tom has referred to is a whole lot of programs that have worked well in our state, and some of it requiring federal funds. I'm going to keep fighting for those federal funds, but I'm going to try to get Republicans and Democrats to know, and they've got to hear in their own states that they are going to lose jobs under these programs. These are job-killing cuts that are going on. Scientific research and medical research and cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, you can't say, oh, we're going to cut off the money for a few years, but then we'll get back to you a few years from now. You can't turn this research on and off. You can't correct the environment by saying, oh, we'll protect the environment 8 years from now. We won't in the meantime. You have got to keep this going. And Tom, I appreciate what your folks have done, and I'll keep fighting for the money.
Senator, we've seen in the last 24 hours a number of states, most notably California, where Governor Jerry Brown says his state will go ahead with its plans to adhere to the guidelines of the Paris Climate Accord. Do you think if a lot of states take this action, including Vermont, that it could still have a pretty big impact?
I think it could have an enormous impact. Remember where the president said, I represent the people of Pittsburgh, not the people of Paris. Well, the mayor of Pittsburgh responded almost immediately and said, we're going to follow the things on that were in the climate agreement. And, of course, it's not just Paris. It's hundreds of nations around the world. And in fact, the only three countries now that said that they don't want to be in there are the United States, Syria, and Nicaragua. Wow. As an American, I can't imagine I want to be said that we stand alone with Syria and Nicaragua. That does not make America great. That makes America far less great.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Our guest today, Senator Patrick Leahy. We've been talking about the climate accord in Paris, where the Trump administration has announced the United States' withdrawal from that accord. We were also talking about Russian involvement in the 2016 presidential election and certainly some budget cuts that the Trump administration has announced. Senator, you know, during the campaign, Donald Trump, as a presidential candidate, talked about doing all this stuff. He talked about pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord. He talked about budget cuts. He talked about increasing spending on military programs. So isn't he just doing what he said he was going to do?
Well, he certainly had a lot of people followed what he was saying he was going to do. He came within 3 million votes of Hillary Clinton. She only got 3 million votes more than he did. But he promised jobs, jobs, jobs. But then let's look at what his budget is. Under his budget, an estimated 9 million people would lose jobs, including veterans who would lose access to employment and training service next year. He would eliminate almost $4 billion from Pell Grants. We don't create jobs by denying young people access to affordable higher education or by slashing job training. He would cut $1.7 trillion from the safety net of health and nutrition program. You know, these are not keeping a promise. He said, we're going to make America great again. Well, I've always felt America was great. But when you go to Europe and say, well, maybe we'll support the NATO alliance, maybe we won't, that diminishes America's greatness. When we say that all these countries around the world who agreed on climate control, well, never mind whatever we said we'd do, we're now going to break our word. That doesn't make America great. That makes America less great. I think you have to go beyond the sloganeering. He also said he'd build a $40 billion wall along the Mexican border, and Mexico would pay for it. I'd like to find even the most ardent Trump supporter who actually thinks that Mexico would pay for a $40 billion wall in the United States.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Lori in Essex Junction. Hi, Lori. Welcome to the program.
Hello. I'm also a big supporter of you, Senator Leahy. In fact, I made your Batman cape for you. You still have that from when you were cameoing in the Batman movies. But aside from all of that, my question for you is, you know, I always thought there was more of a system of checks and balances in our federal government so that no branch could be so powerful. And it just, I'm confounded that Donald Trump is making so many unilateral decisions with, it's like he can do whatever he wants. And he's just, it just seems like the only person who has any power over him is Vladimir Putin.
Well, I can't disagree with that. The thing is, he has a Republican majority in the House, a Republican majority in the Senate. I've been concerned by a number of Republican senators who I greatly admire who have kept their mouth shut and not stood up to Donald Trump. I think no matter what party you belong to, if the president is doing things that are not good for the country, the Senate especially should be the conscience of the nation. It should stand up and say, you can't do this. We did that in Watergate. The Vietnam War finally stopped when the Senate, by a one-vote margin, voted to stop the war. We have to be able to stand up there. And I'm hoping, as he goes on more and more outrageous, that whether it's Mitch McConnell or anybody else, will stop rubber stamping what he's doing. They've cut out money for women's health care. They've cut out money on education. They've made it impossible to find out where some of the worst environmental violations are. They've even cut back on workers' safety. Now, I'd like to know how many people are willing to campaign. Hey, I'm in favor of having a less safe workplace for you. I'm in favor of cutting out health care for the women who are sitting in this room. Well, that's what they're voting for, and I'm hoping they'll finally wake up to the fact you got to start saying no.
Senator, in all fairness, President Obama certainly implemented a number of policies using executive orders, didn't he?
He did. Every president has. I don't know if he had as many executive orders as President Reagan or the Bushes did, but yes, he did. And on every one of those, we could vote him up or we could vote him down. But I'd like to, and if I disagreed with him, I would tell him so. And many times we would then go to appropriations and we'd make a difference in it. I didn't see much rubber stamping of these things.
Senator, we got an email about dairy, and the writer feels that there's a dairy crisis going on in the United States, that milk and milk products are being dumped because there's too much milk beyond that can be consumed. Large farms are adding on instead of cutting back on production, and that lowers prices paid to farmers. No young farmer is able to ship milk or find a market, yet large farms can expand. Where are we going with this? What about that? What about the problem with dairy in Vermont and across the country?
I am concerned about it in Vermont. I've been meeting with dairy farmers and their representatives about it. I had a long meeting in my office with the new Secretary of Agriculture and told him he's got to start having people, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, start paying attention to what is happening in Vermont. I remember when something like this happened once before, that's when I wrote the Organic Farm Bill and fought like mad to get it through, got it signed into law, and we were able to get a respite. And a lot of farmers moved to organic farming. It's now become a $40 billion nationwide procedure. But I think we have to say we have almost factory farms out west, and you and I as taxpayers are paying for the water that goes to them. We don't get that in Vermont. I think there has to be a balance. Dairy has been very good for Vermont, but it's very, very hard work. And if we want it to stay, there has to be more ability to sell milk that actually gives you a return on your investment. Otherwise, nobody will stay in farming. Now, we're gearing up for the next farm bill. I intend to have Vermonters come down to testify for that farm bill. I will certainly have meetings. I'm sure the other two members of the Vermont delegation will also, with the dairy farmers around the state, about what we're doing.
I mean, can you offer any hope to some of the smaller dairy farmers around Vermont that they're going to still be in business 3 or 4 years from now?
I certainly hope they are. They're the same way that many of them stayed in business after I wrote the Organic Farm Bill. But it's going to depend an awful lot if this administration is going to pay any attention to small family farms, or are they just going to go and put all their money, all their resources, all their planning into large corporate farms. If they do that, that's going to be destructive to agriculture, not only in Vermont, but throughout the country.
Senator, we only have a minute left, but I wanted to talk to you about Cuba. Recently, you introduced legislation to open up business and tourism ties with Cuba. But this week, the Trump administration said it's considering reinstating limits on travel and commerce because of ongoing human rights violations by the Cuban government. What do you think about that?
You know, the Trump administration praises Putin. They praise dictators like Sisi and Erdogan and Salman and Duterte in the Philippines have been involved in the most atrocious human rights. But they want to say that Americans can go anywhere they want in the world, but not Cuba, 90 miles from us. It makes no sense. And that's why a lot of us, Republicans and Democrats, have joined together to make sure the work that I and Senator Flake and others did continues in opening up to Cuba.
That's going to do it for Vermont Edition today. Senator Patrick Leahy, many thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Good to be with you. And I know my sister Mary is listening, so I want to do a good job.
I'm sure you did.